Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management and Blackridge Asset Management LLC. Peak Broker Services LLC is not an affiliate of Independent Solutions or Financial Guys LLC.
Podcast, baby!
You're listening to the Financial Guys.
This is the sickness that is liberalism.
All these liberals love Bill Clinton. Let's put the budget back to where Billy was. Yeah.
People like Andrew Cuomo, people like Barack Obama, people like that have no business experience or skill whatsoever. These are the folks that are making regulations that you and I have to abide by. We need more Donald Trumps. That's what we need.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Good afternoon, everybody. Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, and thanks for tuning into our podcast. We really do appreciate it. For more information on everything that we do, whether it be our Twitter feed or Facebook page, all of our social media stuff, go to our website at thefinancialguys.com. You can find all that information right there. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Mike's going to be joining us in a little bit. He's got tied up in a meeting, and so he'll be joining us towards the end of the show. I've got a number of things I want to talk about and a couple of clips I want to play. So we had, obviously, this week, we had congressional hearings going on all week. And, you know, some of these Democrats, honest to God, you can't make this stuff up. It's like watching like an SNL skit or some sort of a parody. It really is amazing. So I've got a couple of clips I want to show you. The first one, of course, is Ted Lieu trying to get Candace Owens. So this, by the way, you want to talk about, you know, lesson 101 and how to burn yourself. It's just amazing. What they're doing is doing congressional testimony, and Representative Ted Lieu, who's a whack job left-wing liberal from California, tries to capture Candace by doing what the liberals love to do, and that is to, you know, formulate some sort of a lie or take a clip and condense it down so it fits a narrative. This is so incredibly dishonest and disingenuous. This is a 29-year-old young African-American conservative woman who's doing a wonderful job in, you know, really espousing conservative values and what she believes in. He takes this clip out of context from one of many presentations that she did where he cuts out the question and tries to make her look like she's a Nazi sympathizer. She, by the way, folks, she works for Prager University, which is owned and run by a Jewish family. So it's amazing how ignorant these folks are. But the best part about this whole thing is it blows up completely right back in Ted Lieu's face. This turned out to be the most watched House hearing clip in history from C-SPAN. So here it is.
I do not believe that we should be characterizing Hitler as a nationalist. He was a homicidal, psychopathic maniac that killed his own people. A nationalist would not kill their own people. That is exactly what I was referring to in the clip, and he purposely wanted to give you a cut-up similar to what they do to Donald Trump to create a different narrative. That was unbelievably dishonest, and he did not allow me to respond to it, which is worrisome and should tell you a lot about where people are today in terms of trying to drum up narratives. By the way, I would like to also add that I work for Prager University, which is run by an Orthodox Jew. Not a single Democrat showed up to the embassy opening in Jerusalem. I sat on a plane for 18 hours to make sure that I was there. I'm deeply offended by the insinuation of revealing that clip without the question that was asked of me.
She just hammers them. I love it. They don't know what to say. That's just silence in the room, which is awesome. The thing is, again, you're talking about a grown adult, right? Ted Lieu, who should know better, to try for political points, to score points and to capture a false narrative by framing Candace Owens, a young conservative African-American woman, as a Nazi sympathizer is just disgusting. I mean, this is what the Democrats now have stooped to. This is the kind of stuff and the kind of games that they play. But if you watch more of the hearings throughout the week and a whole bunch of different things, it gets even worse than this. Now you've got Maxine Waters, Mad Max. I got to tell you, the fact that some in the Democrat Party are putting out there that Donald Trump is the one that's not fit for office. I think Maxine Waters said it specifically, not fit for office. He needs to be impeached because he's not fit to serve. I don't understand how Democrats can say that when they got Maxine Waters out there front and center as their spokeswoman for the Democrat Party. Now, mind you, Maxine Waters is the chairwoman for the House Financial Services Committee. She's not just like, you know, Ocasio Cortez, newly in the Congress, young, you know, doesn't know. She's the chairwoman, the leader of the House Financial Services Committee. Okay. Let me play this clip for you. She's questioning banking officials and leaders at different banks. she's trying to catch them and hammer them on the student loan crisis without any understanding or realization that the Obamacare passage took over the government, allowed the government to take over the student loan industry. So private banks have not made a student loan since 2010. You would think that the chairwoman of the Financial Services Committee would know that. You would think that somebody on her staff would have half a brain in their head, knowing that this hearing is coming up, to just say, hey, psst, Maxine, just so you know, we don't do student loans anymore, the private sector. We nationalized that. We took that over. So if you're going to ask them those questions, be careful. Nobody on her staff warned her, and this is the kind of stupidity that comes out as a result.
Thank you. Today, there are more than 44 million Americans that owe, this is student loan crisis, $1.56 trillion in student loan debt. Last month, this committee received testimony that last year, 1 million student loan borrowers defaulted, which is on top of the 1 million borrowers who defaulted the year before. What are you guys doing to help us with the student loan debt? Who would like to answer first? Mr. Monahan, Big Bank.
We stopped making student loans in 2007 or so.
Oh, so you don't do it anymore. Mr. Corbett?
We exited student lending in 2009.
Mr. Diamond?
When the government took over student lending in 2010 or so, we stopped doing all student lending.
Thank you.
Honest to God. I just love it. It's right down the line. Mr. Big Bank right there. What do you think? We haven't done a student loan since 2008, ma'am. And how about you over there? You know, now we stopped in 2009. Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan, what about you guys? You certainly should be a big player in student loans. Nope, we stopped doing those when the government took it over in 2010. Oh, I think that's probably when maybe the light bulb went off in her little tiny teeny brain that, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I do. You were there. Remember, Maxine? You voted for it. You voted for Obamacare. Remember? I guess maybe you didn't read it because, again, Nancy Pelosi said we'll have to find out what's in the bill after we pass it. Well, Maxine, had you circled back around to your buddy Nancy and actually read the monstrosity that was Obamacare, you would have learned that inside of that bill, there was a lot of really nasty things, including fees and taxes and regulations and surcharges. Oh, and the nationalization of an entire industry, which was the student loan business, on top of the nationalization and socialization of the healthcare sector as well, 1/6 of our overall economy. So I guess you missed that part of socialism. You all remember when Maxine Waters, I got to find this clip, let me see if I can do it on the fly. You all remember when Maxine Waters almost let it slip that socialism was what her ultimate goal was. She held her tongue back then. She almost let it slip, but she didn't. Today, the Democrats just flat out openly socialists, right? No problem. Now, this was back when she tried to hide it. This is Mad Maxine Waters, the genius that she is, going back during the gas price spikes. Oil went to 150, and then the price at the pump went to $3-$4.
What guarantees are you going to give this liberal about how that will reduce the cost of gasoline at the pump if we let you drill where you say you want
to
drill?
I can guarantee to the American people, because of the inaction of the United States Congress, ever increasing prices unless the demand comes down, and the $5 will look like a very low price in the years to come if we are prohibited from finding new reserves, new opportunities to increase supplies.
And guess what this liberal would be all about? This liberal will be all about socializing.
Didn't mean to say that. Socializing about, basically, she goes on to say, the government taking over and running your businesses. That was the end of that clip. That's what she ends up saying. Maxine, we all know what socialism is. They used to hide it back then. This was going back about 15 years or so. They used to hide it back then. Now they're just openly socialists. But Maxine, 15 years later, questioning the banking officials about the student loans that they haven't given out in 9 years since the government took over the student loan industry, is still as dumb today as she was 15 years ago when she was questioning the oil executives and asking them why oil prices were high, as if somehow there's collusion. We do this all the time. Democrats love this. Whenever something doesn't go right in the economy, it must be the big, bad private sector. They restrict all kinds of oil and gas exploration, take all kinds of federal lands off the table during the Obama administration. Of course, when you limit supply, the natural reaction is that if demand stays the same and you limit supply, prices go up. That's economics 101 that everybody should be required to take in high school, even middle school. But if you limit supply, prices go up. They limited supply by taking federal lands off of the rolls to be able to drill on. As a result, supply was limited, prices went up, and guess what? They blame it on the oil and gas executives. Amazing. So now they're blaming the defaults and the student loan industry and how bad it is. And I'm not saying it's not good by any means. I don't disagree with her and her premise that the student loans are a huge problem. Who runs the industry though? The government does. The government took over the student loans. Maxine, as the House Financial Committee chairwoman, the leader of that committee, has no clue whatsoever that that actually took place back in 2010. Most of the country does, at least those with a brain, not Maxine Waters. Anyway, moving on, we'll take a quick break here. I'm going to come back with some local stuff. When I say local, I mean Western New York, New York State. A couple of things, you know, Friendly's closed abruptly overnight. Schumer's demanding answers. We'll play a clip on that. Chick-fil-A, NFTA came out and said, hey, not our fault. This was Delaware North, so we'll talk about that in a bit. And then apparently crime does pay, because Todd Howe, who was part of the Buffalo Billion, brought up on, I think, 7 or 8 federal charges, felonies, for bribery and corruption and fraud and all this stuff. Yeah, 5 years probation. No problem whatsoever. No big deal. Here's probation for you, and don't do anything stupid for the next 5 years. No mention, by the way, of giving back any of the kickbacks or anything like that. So we'll talk about that. We come back on the other side of the break. Again, you're listening to the Financial Guys podcast, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. If you're not familiar with our show, tune in every Saturday from 1 to 3 on News Radio 930 WBEN. You can find us on the radio.com app, WFTL AM 850 down in South Florida. And each and every Saturday, we've been on the air for 20 years. And you can also follow us on all of our social media pages by going to our website at financialguys.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Segment number 2 here of the Financial Guys podcast. Again, if you want information on our podcast, our company, we do manage money for a living, by the way. We have all these different departments that focus on Social Security planning, Medicare planning, retirement planning, investment planning. We have a whole separate arm, a registered investment advisor called Independent Solutions that has 170 plus years of investment experience, including a mutual fund manager and 2 chartered financial analysts on that investment committee. So if you want more information on anything that we do as a firm, or you want to follow our social media pages, go to our website and check that out, thefinancialguys.com. Find out all the information on everything we're doing, including our upcoming YouTube channels. We just got to populate them with more and more content. One will be a political channel where we'll be out on the street doing interviews on college campuses, interviewing protesters, trying to provide content. Now, I personally love doing that. We finally have the equipment to actually get it done. So we'll be looking forward to doing some of that in the upcoming weeks and months, especially as Western New York warms up a little bit. So look out for that. The other channel is going to be an educational channel. So it's going to be a lot of how to, you know, plan for retirement, how to go through a process, stuff like that. So those 2 channels will be linked. So information on how to access those channels and everything that we do, from Facebook to Twitter to Instagram, go to our website at financialguys.com. You could also ask us questions through that website and use us as a resource that way. Before the break, we were just talking about the pure ignorance that seems to be abound in the Democrat Party, and Maxine Waters certainly front and center, as Rush Limbaugh would put it, a colossal jewel or a glittering jewel of colossal ignorance, I think is how he puts it, which is absolutely perfect. But I wanted to play the last part of that clip where she's grilling the oil and gas executives, where, you know, why are oil and gas prices so high? And if it were up to this liberal would be all about social, and then she catches herself. Today it's okay. 15 years later, no problem. You can be an open socialist, you know, no issues there. But the last part of this clip, the way that she tries to explain herself away, is priceless. And I'm not sure if we can get the video put in this as well, Kels. But the look on the lady that's sitting next to her face and just rolls her eyes is just classic.
Would be about basically taking over and the government running all of your companies.
Right. So that's what socialism means. And so basically, as I said, taking over, I've watched that clip so many times, I've got to, you know, memorize, and the government running all of your businesses. That's great. That should be the role of our government, just taking over, you know, oil and gas. We allowed it, though. 10 years later, we allowed it by allowing the federal government to take over the health care industry with Obamacare. And oh, by the way, they confiscated and took over the student loan industry as well. Since that point, the student loan debt has ballooned. It's skyrocketed, which is part of the reason why she was having this hearing this week, to ask these bank executives, why exactly are all these defaults going on? What are you doing to help these students to not default, to pay off the student loan? The answers from the bank executives? With all due respect, Congresswoman, we haven't been in that industry since the government took it over in 2010. Maxine Waters, the chairwoman of the House Financial Services Committee, didn't understand or know that. Amazing to me. But let's move on to some local stuff. Let's talk about one of the most recent things, which was Friendly. So over the weekend, four Friendly's restaurants in Western New York decided to close. So I don't know why. I haven't looked into it. I'm guessing their business wasn't very good, and they were probably losing more money than they were making. Usually that's the answer, typically, right? Unless they sell it to somebody else or whatever, they consolidate. But so I'm assuming that these Friendly's, one on Transit Road, one on Sheridan, four locations across Western New York, closed. Well, Chuck Schumer is demanding answers. I love the headline. Schumer wants answers from Friendly's after sudden closings. Are you an investor in Friendly's, Mr. Schumer? I mean, did you have a financial interest in Friendly's? Or is it that maybe did they not get permission from the commissaire in Albany, Emperor Cuomo? Did we not get King Cuomo's approval to close down? I mean, it just is a joke. The best part about this, as he's talking here, he's saying Schumer said it does not appear that Friendly's filed any notices with the federal government. There are definite laws that require if you're going to lay off a certain amount of people, but we're talking about a couple of Friendly's restaurants here. Four, not 40, not 400. I'm sure that the attorneys for Friendly's probably looked into what the requirements were. I'm guessing made sure that they fulfilled whatever requirements, but that's not good enough for Schumer. Just like Maxine Waters is going to get to the bottom of the student loan crisis and the bottom of the oil and gas crisis, Schumer's going to get to the bottom of why a Friendly's restaurant closes. The best part is this statement here, and this is a direct quote from Chuck Schumer. Quote, when a worker takes a job, they are often mandated to provide a two-week notice upon quitting. Friendly's should have to live by that same standard. Anything less is both unfair and irresponsible. So let's just dissect this statement for a second. When a worker takes a job, they are often mandated to provide a two-week notice upon quitting. I don't know if Mr. Schumer, Senator Schumer is aware of this, but I'm pretty confident that indentured servitude and forced labor was something that we outlawed in this country centuries ago, I believe. I do know. Here's the problem. Senator Schumer has not spent a day in the private sector. Senator Schumer has no comprehension of how the private sector works. For those of you that are business owners or have been business owners, as you would know, is a two-week notice common courtesy? Yes. Is two-week notice nice to have from an employee that wants to leave? Absolutely. Are there times that employees just don't show up for work the next day? Happens all the time, especially in a Friendly's or a McDonald's or a fast food establishment. Mike and I, for years, ran a number of Subways. We bought a couple of Subways. We built the Subway on Sheridan Drive, where the new chef's restaurant, I understand, is going, which is awesome. We also designed and built the Subway at Main and Transit. That was just kind of a side gig while we were doing the financial business that we were starting and launching the Financial Guys. But we have a lot of experience. We've run tax offices. We've run multiple businesses now. So I can tell you firsthand, Senator Schumer, there are times when employees get up and they leave. They don't show up. They don't give 2 weeks notice. It's not mandated. I don't know where you got this, that somehow employees must fulfill their final two-week obligation before they leave. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But to not understand that and to make such an ignorant comment really just shows exactly how out of touch Senator Schumer is, and most of the Democrat Party is. And to be honest with you, most of the Republican Party is as well when it comes to private business. These are the folks that are making regulations that you and I have to abide by, and they don't have a clue how the private sector works. To say that people are mandated, so now a business has to follow the same protocol, I can't fire an employee. What are we going to become, France? Just so you know, the country of France had unemployment rates that chronically ran 10, 11, 12%. The reason for that is the labor laws in France were so strict at the time. Now, they have loosened up some since, but they were so strict at the time that you couldn't fire a worker for 2 years. There were cases in France where an employee actually embezzled money from the corporation, was fired, took it to an arbitration panel that sided with the employee and required the business owner to give that employee their job back and continue to pay them for the 2-year termination period. For a time in France, you could not fire anybody for the first 2 years that you hired them. So of course, businesses in France were petrified to hire new employees. They would do everything they could not to hire a new employee because every new employee they hired, they would have to keep for at least 2 years. And when they wanted to fire them, even for cause, for things like embezzling, they weren't allowed to do it, right? What was the result of that? Well, 10, 11% unemployment rates. What do we have in this country? Certainly a lot more freedom than that. Thank God. If it were up to the Democrats, that wouldn't be the case. But as a result of our freedom and our flexible labor markets, we have a 3.8% unemployment rate, which most economists would say is full employment. We can't get the rest of those people to go to work. There are more jobs available in this country right now than there are workers available and willing to fill those spots. What do Democrats want to do? They want to start paying people that don't feel like working, right? The proposal in California, Chicago, and I'm assuming Baltimore soon. These clowns want to start to provide a basic income to people, better simply, unwilling to work. Really, unwilling to work so that this jackass can go to work every day and pay for somebody else to sit on their couch? I don't think so. This is getting to a point of lunacy in this country, and the Democrats want to push it as far in that direction as possible. And this guy right here, Mike as well, we're sick and tired of it. We're going to continue to speak out about it. So Mr. Schumer, if you'd like an education on how a private business works, and if you'd like to know that no employees are not mandated and required to stay on a job and give 2 weeks notice, that doesn't work that way in the private sector. If you'd like that kind of education, I'd be happy to give it to you at some point. Maybe you can go back and enroll in a community college and take economics and a business 101 course and bring yourself up to speed. But this is what happens, folks, when we put people in office like Chuckie Schumer. He was the youngest person ever elected to the New York State Assembly. He went from New York State Assembly to the Senate, basically. And he's been a politician his entire life. Not a clue how the private sector works, right? That brings me to the next one, which is Chick-fil-A. We talked about this last week in our podcast. They got booted from the Buffalo airport, supposedly by the NFTA. Well, the U.S. Commissioner on Civil Rights responded and basically said, well, we think this is possibly a violation. It's a violation because you can't discriminate against a company, as we said last week and multiple times in the radio, for supporting and believing in a religious cause. I love how Sean Ryan, Assemblyman Sean Ryan, frames it as anti-LGBT community. So now being pro-traditional marriage or just simply having Christian beliefs that marriage is between a man and a wife, somehow now you can't believe that anymore. If you believe that, then you deserve to be kicked out of the airport. Well, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights wrote a response. Of course, what does the NFTA come out with? Wasn't us. We didn't do it. It was Delaware North. They run the concessions. So I guess, all right, well, then shame on you, Delaware North, because now I guess you're discriminating, along with Assemblyman Sean Ryan, against the business simply based on their religious beliefs, and that's just not right. If this were a Muslim-run business, would likely have the very same beliefs, because last time I checked, there's not a whole lot of gay rights in Muslim-run countries. Last time I checked. Maybe this changed, but I'm just saying. So my guess is, just a guess, maybe we can get a guest on and ask him directly at some point. But I'm guessing that the Muslim community and the Islamic faith has the same belief in traditional marriage between a man and a wife that the Christian belief. If Chick-fil-A was a Muslim-run establishment, would there be outrage in the community because Delaware North or the NFTA or Assemblyman Sean Ryan blocked them? Of course there would be, and rightfully so. In this case, Christian organization, no problem. So at some point, if we get some time, of course, we do have a weekly day job that we work managing money Monday through Friday.
But if we get a chance, maybe we'll send out a whole bunch of Chick-fil-A to Sean Ryan's office. We'll do it Facebook Live so everybody can watch it when we show up to deliver Chick-fil-A to Sean Ryan's office. So we'll see if we can get that done. These politicians, these holier-than-thou politicians, discriminating, in this case, Chick-fil-A, because of the religious beliefs. But don't worry, I'm sure Chuck Schumer will get the bottom of that too. That's it. That's the last thing I wanted to mention. I already mentioned the Buffalo Billion thing. I guess I'll mention that one last time before we go. When you look at the corruption in New York State, crime in New York does pay. You know, we talk a lot about Democrat privilege. And again, you've got Prococo, who've got a few years slap on the wrist. You've got Governor Cuomo, who walks scot-free. You've got Criminelli, who gets, what, a year and a half, 2 years. He'll be out in a year with good behavior in a country club type of setting, right? No mention, by the way, whether Criminelli is going to give back the extra $400 to $500 million that he overbid the Solar City debacle that is part of this Buffalo Billion joke. But finally, we got Todd Howe. 5 years probation, just like, you know, stealing a Snickers bar from a 7-Eleven, no big deal, just a 5-year probation. He was charged with like 7 counts of a federal felony, 7 counts for things like bribery, corruption, fraud, and so on. 7 federal counts, at least, if not more, 5 years probation. No problem. No problem at all. No big deal. Crime pays. If you're a Democrat, you too can get away with almost anything if you have Democrat privilege. So anyway, that's going to do it for it, folks. Again, we do manage money for a living. If you want more information on any of our departments or anything we do as a firm, any of our social media stuff, use us as a resource. If you need us throughout the week, you can always call us at our flagship office, 716-633-1515, or contact us at financialguys.com. Thank you for listening to the Financial Guys podcast. I'm Glenn Wiggle on behalf of Mike Lomas, and we'll see you on Saturday on News Radio 930 WBEN at 1 o'clock.